We're now past the halfway point of the Easter season. In a couple of weeks, we'll celebrate the Ascension, Jesus' return to the Father. And 3 weeks from today, we'll celebrate the conclusion of the Easter season with the great solemnity of Pentecost. During the Easter season, we've been focused in our readings on the resurrection event, the great event of Easter, Jesus rising from the dead. And that, of course, has drawn our interest because that is the truth on which the entire Christian faith is based. Today, we start to think a little bit about Jesus returning to the Father, his ascension, and so the church asks us to reflect on this passage in our gospel. And interestingly, it comes from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John that's subtitled The Last Supper Discourses. Now, why would the church ask us, as we're drawing close to the end of the Easter season, to go back and reflect on what Jesus shared with his disciples on the night before his passion, the night before he was crucified? Maybe they think we need to hear it again, and maybe they think there's a connection between the disciples who listened to Jesus at the Last Supper and ourselves as we try to live out that faith. Indeed, Jesus knew as he was sharing this message with his disciples that their faith would be tested. He knew that when they saw him scourged and crucified and placed in the tomb, that they would be tempted to give up their faith, to return to their former way of life. But he also knew that there would be no turning back for life. The world would never be the same after his crucifixion and resurrection. And so he wanted them to have something to hold on to ponder from a big picture standpoint. And I think he wants the same for us. The context is not the same as we hear that passage today. We're 2,000 years out from Jesus' death and resurrection. We try to live our faith with the realization that he's not physically in our presence. He is sacramentally, for sure, always with us. But there's a sense in which, as time goes on, and it's been so long since the actual event, we can actually lose our focus. We can lose our edge as Christians, become lackadaisical. Just take it for granted. And the church says the mystery, the gift that God gives us is far too great for us to take lax or lackadaisical. You know, those initial disciples, Jesus' torture and departure from them, his death, caused them great fear. They didn't know what would happen to them. They didn't know what the future would hold. They thought they knew. And now, all of a sudden, their expectations had been shattered. And so what did they do? They locked themselves in that upper room, remember, for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came to them through those locked doors, and he said to them, not once, not twice, but three times, peace be with you. And now in this passage today, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. He's telling them and he's telling us, there will be struggles in the Christian life. People will experience a decline in health. Our mental faculties may decline. We get old. Some face illnesses, loss of jobs. Relationships are shattered. Marriages are broken, and children are abused, and there's much pain in the world, and that can all cause us, people of faith, to become fearful. And so we need to keep our eye focused on the prize, on the great end that we have in store for us. And that's what Holy Mother Church wants us to focus on today. Listen to those words of Jesus that he spoke to the disciples the night before he went to the cross, but listen to them today, for they're intended for each one of us. He tells us there is room for us, all of us, in his Father's house. Now that's great news. To keep in mind, we know that whatever the struggles of this life, there is another life for us, that this is just a prelude. And because of that other life, the eternal life that awaits us, it gives us the courage, the fortitude, the strength to get through whatever problems we encounter in this life. He tells us that he has gone to the Father, and he's gone to prepare a place for you and for me. Isn't that something that the Savior of the world would keep each one of us in his mind, in his heart? He wants us to come and be with him for all eternity. And what a beautiful place it will be, we don't know. Paul tells us that eye has not seen, the ear hasn't heard, and it is not even come into our minds what God has in store for us. But Jesus says, where I am, I will come back and take you to myself. And so we'll be with him. And if we're with him, that is enough for us. You say, well, this is all very simple. Of course, we know this. Yes, we do know it. But we need to remember it. We need to remind ourselves of it. Philip knew that the Father was in the Son and the Son was in the Father, but it escaped him. And Jesus had to remind him, had to repeat it. And so the church wants us to continue to keep in our minds this great prize that Jesus has for us, and not only for us, but for others. Isn't it amazing that there are those who will not know that they have a place in heaven reserved for them if we don't share the good news with them? What good is it to have that room if we don't know it's there and we don't know the way to get there? St. Paul is always a great saint for us. You know, he struggled for the faith. He underwent beatings. He underwent scourgings. They threw him out of synagogues and imprisoned him. He went through a lot, but he never took his eye off the end. He never took his eye off being with Jesus forever. And so he says, all of these afflictions that I face, they're momentary and they're light because they're producing for me an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Brothers and sisters, if we keep our eyes focused on what Jesus has done for us and what he wants to do for us, then every affliction we face will be surmountable, and we can share that good news with others that they too have a room in heaven reserved for them.